Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
This is an
ENN
special report. Now reporting.
Peter, you look very handsome.
ENN's at 6.
When the clock struck 6, it meant one thing.
I want to go chase the squall.
He knows nothing interesting to say.
This is Gil.
Now, from the ESPN New York news desk, here's
Rosenbaum or whatever that guy's name is.
No wonder your show is number one.
Welcome, welcome, and welcome some more to ENN on this, what day is today? Wednesday evening? Now, I have a question for you, Michael and Don.
Yeah.
Yes.
You listening?
Yeah.
Yeah.
How do you? I just reconfigured my mic. What are your thoughts? Do you think I sound any different?
No.
No.
You don't hear anything?
You didn't sound bad before.
But Don, you'll like this. What about now? I ran through my mixer. Watch, I can do a DJ sound. So I could do like. Shout out Don LaGreca.
Shout out Don LaGreca.
My man Michael K.
I like this.
Brand new ish. Or I could do.
Robot voice. Can you hear that?
Yes.
Do I have a robot voice?
You do.
You really don't have anything, do you?
All right, sorry. Anyways, guys, I'd like to start off by saying good evening to Michael.
Clowns. Well, clueless.
And then I'd like to say good evening to Don.
Ah!
So Dr. Fauci, who we all agree is a wonderful man who's doing a great job, the best he can, and could be saving our country. We don't know. But I've also said, and I'll stand by this, because he's willing to reach the people, he will literally, he's going to appear on Caught Offsides this week. I mean, the man does interviews. If the interview's offered, he's doing it. And here he is on Caught Offside with Andrew Gundling and J.J. Devaney. No, just kidding. This is on Snapchat, apparently.
Well, hey there.
I really thought you were telling the truth. I said, well, Andrew didn't get him for our show?
No, because I've had it.
That would be disappointing.
Just take the L.
Dr. Fauci. Here he is on Snapchat, and he's talking about the idea of sports with no fans.
There's a way of doing that. Nobody comes to the stadium. Put them in big hotels, you know, wherever you want to play. Keep them very well surveilled, and namely a surveillance, but have them tested like every week and make sure they don't wind up infecting each other or their family and just let them play the season out. I mean, people say, well, you know, you can't play without spectators. Well, I think you probably get enough buy-in from people who are dying to see a baseball game, particularly me. I'm living in Washington. We have the world champion Washington Nationals. You know, I want to see them play again.
Do you hear this, man? He needs to take a break from interviews. He has no more words to say.
Yeah, it's his plan, though. To me, it's going to be hard to execute. I mean, I'm somewhat heartened by the fact that he believes it could happen, but it's not just one hotel. It's going to be almost a small, tiny, little encapsulated city to house over 1,000 people and keep them there and keep 25-year-old men in the hotel without wandering out or ordering in for food, obviously, I mean. So it's going to be a hard thing to pull off. And, you know, what Joe Maddon said earlier, that works, that might work. But again, I if travel is involved, then I just don't know how you could keep distance from others that you're not testing. So Maddon said have it in Texas, California, Arizona, and Florida. The one thing that I think works best of all the things that we've heard, and they're all just ideas, they're not real things that are going to be implemented anytime soon, National League in Arizona, American League in Florida. The Florida thing is a little bit cumbersome because of the distance between some spring training places, and you're going to have to stay in a hotel for a three-game set, but again, without testing for everybody, I don't know how this works.
Well, let's hear from a player, a very relevant player, who seems to agree with you. Mike Trout thinks the idea of a bubble in Arizona is just not likely.
It'd be difficult, you know, for some guys. You know, people, what are you going to do with family members? My wife is pregnant. What am I going to do? And, you know, she goes into labor. Am I going to have to quarantine for 2 weeks after I come back? Because, you know, obviously I can't miss that, you know, birth of our first child. So there's a lot of red flags. There's a lot of questions. Obviously we would have to agree on it as players, but I think the mentality is we want to get back as soon as we can, but obviously it's got to be realistic. You know, we can't be sitting in our hotel rooms and, you know, just going from the field to the hotel room and not being able to do anything. I think that's just, I think that's pretty crazy.
Well, that's what it's got to be, though. I mean, if you're going to be able to go anyplace, you could go maybe the restaurant in the hotel, but you're not going to go down the block to Del Frisco's. I mean, because again, it's going to be a quasi quarantine. So if he wants to expand it like that, then it's impossible to do.
Here's the deal, all right? All talk, not just sports in general. Opening back up the economy and trying to loosen the restraints that we're under right now is going to take more testing. That's why it's not going to happen tomorrow. Even though in a lot of the cities, things are starting to level off, if not plateau. The numbers have been encouraging in some of the big cities, especially in New York, where less hospitalization, less people on ventilators, less people in the ICU. That's all good news. But the reason it's not around the corner is because we don't have the testing. So what Fauci is saying, the reason he's throwing out the summer is that the hope is by the summer, which is still a couple of months away, that we will have the testing where it's not going to be all the testing going to the baseball players. It will be readily available. And if the testing's available where you're getting tested once a week, listen to what Fauci says about infecting the families. If you're testing these players once a week, Steve Trout's wife goes in labor.
Mike Trout.
Steve Trout.
We got to But something has to give today. I mean, it's been a lot of different things all day.
Thing to give is you just continue to do the show. I'm adding no value today.
Sorry.
There was
what he said. You threw him off his game.
No, I'm sorry. Didn't throw me off.
Sorry.
My game. That Mike Trout's wife goes into labor, he's allowed to leave and be with his wife. And then when he comes back, he's going to have to get tested. So he won't have to leave, be with his wife, and then be in quarantine for 2 weeks. That he'll be able to go to the hospital, you know, wear the mask, 6 feet, you know, the social distancing, everything else.
Right.
And then when he gets back into the facility to play, he'll be tested. And if he tests positive, then he's sent home. If he's test negative, he can come right back in and continue to play. So yeah, right now we don't have the testing to do it. But on June 21st, the first day of summer, if we have testing, that mass testing where it's available for everyone, this is very doable.
I think a lot is going to depend, as Don said, on the testing. But President Trump has announced today that he is going to announce tomorrow exactly how the world is going to be opened up and how the economy is going to be started. So he might say, boom, everybody do what you did before. And then it's going to be, who wins that battle between the president and the governors? Because the Constitution said that the governors will win.
Well,
the states' rights do not fall victim to the federal government. So this has been a different time in politics. So you wonder, will the states with Republican governors do exactly what President Trump says? Will the states with Democratic governors rebel against that? I think a lot is going to be laid out tomorrow by how the president envisions the country opening up on May 1st, which I don't understand why he's looking at May 1st, because May 1st, I think, is a Friday.
This isn't the reaction to all the corona stuff, though, has not been drawn along party lines. You know, like Maryland has a Republican governor who was taking really, really incredibly measured stances all the way through. So I don't think this will fall on party lines. But also, Michael, if you listened to the president yesterday, his tone sounded a lot different about deciding what's going to happen.
Yeah, but, you know, I would not want to be this president in this situation, because he is being pulled in every which way. Because if you there was a story, I believe, in the Times today that President Trump really takes a lot of his cues from what Rush Limbaugh says.
Well,
and he listens to Rush Limbaugh constantly. And Rush Limbaugh saying, this is ridiculous. He's called it at times a common cold. Just restart the economy. Well, so, I mean, is he going to listen to him? Or is he going to listen to Fauci and Burks? I mean, that's going to be
interesting. The fact that you asked that question is problematic, though.
Yeah, but I don't think you can afford to. Because he did say, after saying that he makes the final call, he did change it, and it goes by the Constitution that the governors make the call. All right? You can't have a press conference and say, I talked to Rush Limbaugh. You have to back
no,
it up
he
with
doesn't
science.
Say that. But, no,
but that's what they're saying is happening.
But that, and also, if you look at the coronavirus task force that I think he announced yesterday or the day before, there's no doctors on it. It's no doctors. It's all money people, Wilbur Ross and things like that. Money people want to restart the economy. Right.
But
that's their raison d'etre. So he's being pulled by them. He's being pulled by Fauci and Birx, and you hope that he would lean towards science rather than to. I love the argument that people make. I mean, we can't just kill the economy. No, just kill people then. Again, I'm not coming down on any party lines, but what exactly is a life worth? That's what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. And I think that Rob Manfred has said it best. We're not returning to sports until we know that people are going to be safe, both our fans and our players. And that's it. No money has anything to do with it. What's going to be the safest time to return?
Right.
That's the only way to look at things.
But with the governors making the ultimate decision, President Trump, I'm sure, and I'm kind of looking forward to hearing an outline of what needs to happen. You know, because there's a lot of things that have to happen. You just can't throw out a date, Michael, because we originally threw out Easter, and look at the folly that turned out to be. May 1st may turn out to be a joke, and right now it seems like we're on pace that it would be a joke for May 1st. But ultimately, he is going to make a decision on how things should move forward. But the governor is going to have the ultimate say. So if New York is still in the situation that it's in, and New Jersey and Connecticut, then those governors are just going to say no, right? I mean,
but it's interesting, though, Don. We're all political animals. I read everything I can read. Yeah.
You're a vociferous reader.
He is kind of like flown in the face of a lot of things that would be looked at as norms. Now, a lot of people tweeted me yesterday, "I can't buck the Constitution." Well, we'll see. I mean, he's gone against convention throughout the last 3+ years. So what's to say that he's not going to force it now? And when he says we should open it up, let's say Cuomo says we shouldn't, there are people in New York that probably do want it opened up.
Listen,
because they're losing money and they're losing their livelihood. People that run small businesses. So again, he's being pulled like Turkish taffy each which way, and you wonder which way he's going to settle.
Now, I agree with you, this is a hard spot to be in. But I don't know. Is it really? Here's the bottom line.
Well, to me, it's not a hard stop, spot because lives trump everything else.
Exactly. So here's the question I have. The easiest thing is if someone had died in your family, all of a sudden this becomes a very easy decision. You do not want anyone to risk the danger of them being affected.
One of the president's closest friends just died.
Well,
a guy that he knew in real estate for 50 years. So, I mean, does that?
Well, I may not be referring. I may not be referring to the way the president sees things, but the way that most people see things is that once you're able to see it up close, what this is, and we're talking about the state that the president's from, over 10,000 are dead, New York. So, like the idea of going back, like things are normal, and even coming out with that plan when 600 New Yorkers are dying a day, I just can't fathom that decision. Can the president speak and give a plan tomorrow before Colin Cowherd gets off the air? He's got to hear what Cowherd says tomorrow. Depending what he says, it could affect everything.
But here's the logic, okay? Whatever side you fall on, not every state is equal, all right? So you can't come up with a plan that represents the entire country when you've got, Wyoming having one death and New York having 20,000, right? So whatever the plan is, it can't be universal, Peter. It just can't be. No matter what party line.
And it probably won't be. My hope is it won't be.
You can't tell New York to do the same thing that Wyoming's going to do or Montana's going to do because, you know, they can go about their business because they don't have the same amount of people. They haven't been affected by it the way New York has, the way New Jersey has. So whatever plan is, I mean, you have to let the governors do it because they're the only ones that know what's happening in their state.
You know, I mentioned this yesterday too, and we live in a bizarre world. What's happening now, nobody could ever have envisioned, at least to this extent. And we have a president in office who is a Republican. And one of the bulwarks of the Republican Party and the conservative movement is that the power is in the state's hands. Well, this Republican president said, I have total power. So that's what's going to be very interesting to see which way they lean. Well, Republicans say, no, we've always believed that states have the power over the federal government. So that's going to be a part of this that's very fascinating as well. I mean, we look at our own little bubble of sports, but it's so much bigger than that, so much more important than that. But what gets decided right. with the economy will spill over into how sports start as well.
Right, because sports is the microcosm of society, right? But I do think the commissioners in sports, no matter where they may fall politically, understand how catastrophic it could be for their business if they open things up too early. So I think all these teams will be in lockstep, all these leagues will be in lockstep, and they, even if they're given a new all clear, I think they will err on the side of caution, just because I don't know if you could survive ramping everything back up again and then in 2 weeks shutting it all down.
Is there one league that you trust the most in terms
basketball.
Of decision making? Don?
I just listening to them all speak, they're all saying the exact same thing. I think they're all working together. Now, whether they truly believe it or not, like, do I think that Adam Silver may fall more on the side of being cautious as opposed to Roger Goodell? I mean, I don't know how they politically lean. I could guess. I could probably take an educated guess.
But I hate that you have to say, how do they politically lean? Why does this have – why is – here's what I don't like. Here's what really bothers me. And if I was a Republican, I'd be red hot over it. Not that I never tell my leanings. How does the group that's cautious and wants to be really extra safe and diligent called left, and the side that's willing to risk it all called right? First of all, it doesn't even go right, because in this case, what's seen as the left is the group that wants to be quote unquote conservative with the decisions being made. But right. why does it have to be about political leaning?
No, it shouldn't be at all.
It should be simple. This should be a really simple process.
It should be, but don't you see what's happening? Like, when you hear the governor of California saying, "I don't think we're not going to be able to get together until after Thanksgiving," like, is that really what he believes, or is it, "I just want to go completely opposite of what the president is saying"?
You know, I don't know.
So I don't know, but you can't deny that it's there, Peter.
But anybody who handles this because of political leanings, shame on them.
And that's why I've really appreciated Murphy and Cuomo. You know, because I think they're led by is what's happening in their backyard. That's what they care about. They care about the people that are dying, the people that are sick in their own backyard. That's why you have to let the governors take care of this, because they're the only ones that know what is happening.
Yeah.
And if you think the entire country is going through it the way New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut are,
no, that's
it's
not true.
True.
Either, yeah. And Murphy and Cuomo are smart, and they care more than anything about their states. And they know that in order to get the most for their states, they simply have to play ball with the White House. That's where the checkbook is. Now, speaking of sports and the idea of getting back to an empty stadium potentially, Kirk Cousins had a conference call. The quarterback for the Vikings had an interesting take.
We practice every day in an empty, you know, grass area. We pump in fake crowd noise for away games. But more often than not, you're used to, you know, OTA practices don't have a lot of pomp and circumstance to them. So honestly, to go out and just play the game would kind of be refreshing and breath of fresh air to just know that, you know, we don't have to have all the smoke and the fire. We can just go play football. So as long as we're playing the game, I won't have a lot of complaints. And hopefully, if it's still not returned to normal, hopefully we can find a way to make it work.
Can I, Peter? May I?
You may.
He's got a lot of nozzle. He made it seem like he'd rather play in front of an empty state. Oh, that's kind of refreshing. Why? Because you don't handle big crowds well and don't win on the road? What a dumb thing to say. Yeah, I would see a player say, yeah, whatever it takes to play, we're going to play. But don't paint it like, you know, it's not such a bad thing.
I really love these players who actually think that the sport would exist without us, the fans. Honestly, do you really think he'd sign the contract that he signed if there were no fans? Does he really think sports work where a bunch of owners get together and say, hey, wouldn't it be funny to just throw money around and play sports? No, they're in it to try to make money, and fans consuming their product is the way that they make money, buying jerseys, buying the television packages. If the fans go away, the sport goes away. So I understand that sometimes it's a little inconvenient to be able to hear the calls because the crowd's so loud, or they might be abusive to you, and some of the fans may actually stink as far as you're concerned. But the audacity to think that it would ever even be considered to exist without us is completely
and
laughable.
I'll tell you, though, you know, two things you should know. Number one, it's not surprising that Kirk Cousins, and I like Kirk. I do. I enjoyed him, you know, for the most part in Washington. But number one, he's not a popular player. In Washington, people were very unsure about him. It was a split thing. Then people wanted him out. In Minnesota, while he's managed to put up good numbers the last 2 years, he's really constantly playing for the affection of his fans and the Viking fans. And number two, and this is a little disrespectful, but is it surprising that a guy who's not known for the big spot and turning up in the big spot doesn't like the big attention on him?
That's true. And all of if you play games, especially in football and basketball and hockey, baseball is a different story. There's no home field advantage then. None. You cannot intimidate officials, umpires, whatever the case may be. There's nobody screaming from row three. And all of the playing fields are uniform. Baseball, there could be a home field advantage if you play in a ballpark that's suited to your hitters or whatever, because there's different dimensions. But in football, basketball, and baseball, football, basketball, and hockey, you have eliminated the home field advantage if you don't play with fans. And there's no bottom of the ninth inning. I guess in hockey, you get the last line shift at home.
Yeah, there's subtle changes, but you're right. The dimensions of the court and the ice are universally the same. The football is different because of the weather. You might be built for indoors, outdoors, whatever. But for the most part, basketball and hockey, it's walking into that building. Michael, they called it the Philly flu, you know, when you went to go to Philadelphia because the crowd was so ravenous and the Flyers played so great there, or going to the old Boston Garden. There's something about having to play in front of those fans and how much they can affect the outcome of the game. Unfortunately, us moving forward, that's not going to be the case. But, you know, to just disregard us, the fans, as just being some unnecessary evil the players have to deal with is ridiculous.
So Golf Digest is reporting that the PGA is going to announce an updated schedule later this week, one that would have it restarting on June 11th with the Charles Schwab Challenge in Fort Worth, Texas.
Oh, the Schwab Challenge. You throw all the records out the window.
Yeah, no, you got to have that one.
This, is this aimed after Howie? Stump the Schwab?
That's right.
Now, and again, another example of where Michael's a genius, because he said it all along. The first sport to return will be golf.
And it's saying here, each state would still have to give permission to have a tournament, even if it's without fans.
One thing I don't understand with all the quarantine stuff, and I know they want people to stay home, I don't understand why they're not letting people golf. I don't get it. I mean, you really literally could play the game and not come in human contact with anybody. And if you're playing two people, four people, they could all stay 6 feet away from each other. Well, that would be the sport to let people get out and do
yeah,
stuff.
But
you'd
but
have
parks
to close. You'd have to. Well, the parks are closed.
No, but
so
if you belong to a private golf club, you should be able to go. You should be able to golf.
However, I agree with you, Michael. To me, it seems like an activity that would be cool during this time. But you'd have to make sure the clubhouse is closed, right?
Yep.
So you can't serve food there and have people gathering at the restaurant when they're
right,
done.
It's all about golf.
Like, you can literally
and
show
no,
up.
No caddy.
And you pay for it online. You bring your own clubs and balls and you play.
Right.
That's the only way it could work.
But really, you should think that a park could be open. Just stay 6 feet away from everybody.
No,
but they don't.
You can't trust people to do that. Golfers, they don't have to be close to each other to play this game.
But still, Michael, when you open up the golf course, you'll still get guys that'll be sharing the same cart. They'll be hanging out together. They'll be breaking the social distancing.
And that's when you have people of law enforcement come in and go, okay, you got to leave.
But I understand that. But law enforcement's got other things that they have to concern. Now every golf course, they got to make sure that they monitor. Because that's the problem right now is you can't. Maybe we can get to a point where
but if every week,
the first things to open up. You would think that parks would, nice day in the spring, just stay 6 feet away from each other. What happens? Peter saw it firsthand.
Well, I'm still seeing it.
People are they're hugging each other. They're 2 feet away from each other.
That's my
point. Basketball together.
But if that can happen every week, if that's going to happen every week in parks anyway, I don't understand why a private golf club couldn't be open.
Because
people
they closed the parks, right?
No, but private clubs aren't
private
parks.
Private clubs.
And they didn't close the parks. Last weekend, there were people in the park all weekend. So I don't know what they meant by close the park, but I'm seeing people in the park constantly.
I guess the problem, Peter, is some parks you can close if it's gated and there's a fence, like some of the basketball courts and stuff. But some of the parks, you make a left off the sidewalk and you're in the park.
How do you
close Central Park? There's certain aspects you can, but the idea is you're not supposed to gather. And it just encourages people to gather. And listen, it's not my anti-golf tag. It's just that Peter, you'll let them golf, and the next thing you know, you'll see there's five or six guys gone. They're all hanging out together. And they're not staying 6 feet apart.
So there's a new book coming out. from Ethan Strauss about the Golden State Warriors. And he has some interesting insight about Kevin Durant. He talks about a conversation that they had on January 5th, 2019. The book's called The Victory Machine. And here's what the author said about the conversation. I tried to make a few points saying I didn't begrudge him for having leverage with his contract and insisted that I had good reason to write what I wrote. KD wasn't impressed and accused me of trying to rile up Steph's fans. He expressed that this was a constant theme in the Bay. All of us local guys just want to kiss Steph's A at his expense. This was KD's consistent lament. He would frequently squabble in direct message conversations with the Warriors fans on Twitter, frequently accusing them of favoring Steph at his expense. In one such exchange that foreshadowed things to come, he was asked by the Warriors World account whether the two-time MVP Steph Curry or Kyrie Irving was the better athlete. I got to really sit down and analyze it, Durant demurred.
I mean, really? Is he surprised? Welcome to A-Rod's world. If you're the hometown kid, you're going to be loved. When you're the guy who comes there, you're not going to be loved.
I mean, the guy was great before you got there. They won championships before you got there. Who do you think the fans are going to side with?
Yeah, you're the one who decided to jump on a racing car. If you jumped on a jalopy, you would have been the guy.
Michael, you described the Yankees. What we always talk about, just like New York sports in general. They always love the draft pick, the mercenary. They're not quick to fall in love with because they weren't drafted by the team.
And there's the story of Alex Rodriguez.
Right. Alex Rodriguez and basically every free agent that joined the Yankees always had to have their initiation, right? Giambi, Messina, all of them. But the guys that catch the break are the guys that came up within the organization because that's the way it is in all sports.
The reviews are starting to roll in for The Last Dance. Shameless plug here, guys.
I wonder how Van Gundy. You think Van Gundy will watch it?
That's the thing. We got to ask him. Get him on. RJ, let's get him on next week, Andrew. Let's get him next
Maybe
week.
Get him on next segment. Just ask him again.
And we'll just ask him one more time.
Shame on him also for not saying, you guys asked me that last week.
I know.
He probably didn't remember.
He doesn't remember.
It was last week.
And by the way, have you guys ever heard, when was the last time we heard from a quote-unquote regular guest how clearly they have no idea who I am than today?
That is a shame.
It's amazing, and you're the reason, too.
He had a few big Michael and Don moments. I'm a voice.
I feel bad.
It was, there's nothing. It's been a hard day. You don't listen to my questions. Van Gundy doesn't know who I am. But this is a big moment for the company with The Last Dance. Of course, it's a 10-part series, 20 hours long. And without new content, ESPN has a lot riding on The Last Dance when it premieres this weekend. But I read a big review from Awful Announcing, and to say the least, they say it's awesome. A 10-hour documentary series that has been expedited to come out in 2-hour increments every Sunday for the next 5 weeks. Rather than the
20 hours.
Yeah, that's 10 hours. I apologize. I'm stupid. Rather than the intended release in June. I misspoke there. It says on Awful Announcing, The Last Dance comes at a time where the network has tried a plethora of strategies to get some eyeballs onto the network and to stabilize its advertising. Like just about everything right now, the results have not been encouraging. By the way, this is obviously something that's going on throughout all of television. But it goes on to say that this show, The Last Dance, could be a game changer for ESPN. So that starts on Sunday,
well, did you
10
see
hours
rating?
Long, 2 hours a week.
Did you see the ratings for Horse, which was bad? I'm sorry, it was bad. Even though it's ours, it was not good. It was 660,000 people, which dwarfed everything that was on ESPN.
That's a low.
I know, but it was the sixth highest rated show on any platform that day. I mean,
but 2 weeks ago, when we re-aired old WrestleManias, they were getting 840,000.
Yeah, the only thing that's beaten them has been wrestling. But again, I think everybody would admit Horse was not well done. It just didn't look good. It wasn't
the thing.
You might have had people looky-loo and then just get out.
Yeah.
But this next round, you think the numbers will drop? Because people were into the idea, and now after they've seen it executed, will they come back?
Is there another round of Horse?
Yeah.
Oh, it'll be lower. It'll be lower. And by the way, we have the director of The Last Dance, I believe, tomorrow at 5:30.
That's right.
Do you think Knicks fans in general share the same opinion as Jeff about watching this?
No. I think most Knicks fans, if you're a big basketball fan, you're watching this. But there are some hardcores who really hate Jordan and the Bulls. Really.
If it wasn't for Jordan, Jeff Van Gundy might be a Hall of Fame coach. I mean, he might have two championships. So, of course, he looks at it differently. Knick fans could see, but you don't you want to see how your enemy did it? I was a Knick fan. I want to see it.
In closing today, really tough day for the WWE and talent there. This is not the full list. There are more people, it sounds like, that have gone. But the list that I had completed recently, names that have been released by WWE on the talent side, Rusev, the Hall of Famer Kurt Angle, the incredibly talented, I love this kid, Drake Maverick, two local guys, Kurt Hawkins and Zack Ryder, two Long Island guys who their entire life dream was to get there. They were there for a very long time. Carl Anderson and Luke Gallows, Heath Slater, Eric Young, Rowan, Sarah Logan, 30-year referee Mike Chioda, Mike and Maria Kanellis, EC3, Aiden English, Leo Rush, Primo and Epico Cologne, and Noe Jose. Just a lot of names, and then behind the scenes as well. So sending my thoughts out to everyone who's going to have to find something new.
Was there any logic or theme to who stayed and who went? Were you able to see a thread at all?
No, because it goes beyond just these names talent-wise. I mean, you can look at the talent list and understand why some of them are, you know, they're not considered top-tier talent right now. Mm. But some of them, you know, like you take a guy like Drake Maverick, he's only been with the company a couple years. And, yeah, he doesn't have a big story right now, but a year ago he did, and he was great at it. So it's hard, you know. It's really, yeah, really hard.
I heard the official that they let go, the referee,
Mike Yoda,
consistently missed the people hitting other people with chairs, never saw it.
And you think that's what it was?
Never saw the ladders ever. Understand the trials and tribulation.
They said we'd let this behavior slide for 30 years, enough
right.
is enough.
Can't see the chair, I'm sorry.
On this day in sports history, a couple of big things. We'll start with this moment that is something I remember from my childhood, or almost childhood.
There it is! Number 3,000 and another milestone for Cal Ripken Jr.
That was, of course, Cal's 3,000th against the Twins back in 2000, the year. And, of course, on this day, maybe the most important moment in sports history in America, 1947, Jackie Robinson becomes the first black man to play Major League Baseball. He went 0-for-3 with a run scored in a win for the Brooklyn Dodgers over the Boston Braves at Ebbets Field. And that'll do it for ENN on this Wednesday evening.
And this day also was going to be important, Peter, because it would have been the final game ever played by Vince Carter.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
That's right, man.
Don't miss Michael, Don, and Peter weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, or look for us under Listen on the ESPN app.